on this edition of Disney's DVD Podcast.
Today, we'll call Frank Marshall. He's the director of the Disney movie Eight Below.
Jerry always believed that the dogs were going to be okay, and they were. And the dogs always believed that Jerry would come back, and he did. So it's really a movie about hope.
Hi, Ross King here with another Disney DVD Celebrity Pod Call. I'll be phoning some of Hollywood's biggest stars and some of the talented folks behind the hottest Disney movies coming soon to DVD. Now today, we're calling Frank Marshall. He's the director of the Disney movie Eight Below. Eight Below is an incredible story of friendship between eight amazing sled dogs and their guide, Jerry Shepherd. Driven by tremendous courage and loyalty to one another, Jerry tries to rescue the dogs stranded in a brutal Arctic storm.
What do you mean? I ordered everybody out of there yesterday.
No, not everybody. We left eight dogs there, sir.
Dogs? I've got over 200 people, 10 winter teams, to evacuate to New Zealand while I can.
Right, well, these dogs are part of our team. These dogs are NSF. We can't just leave them out there.
Eight Below is available on DVD on June the 20th, and it stars Paul Walker, Bruce Greenwood, and Jason Biggs. Right now then, let's give Frank Marshall a call to find out more about this extraordinary movie.
Hello.
Hello, Frank.
Yes?
Hi, it's Ross King, and you're on my Celebrity Pod Call.
Oh, hi, Ross. How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Good.
Now, this amazing, inspiring movie. Just remind us again about the story of Eight Below.
Well, it's actually based on a true event that happened back in 1957 about a group of sled dogs that were stranded in Antarctica and had to work together to survive, and about the group of explorers that were trying to get back to them.
Now, am I right in thinking it was actually inspired by a Japanese film, Nonkiyoku Monogatari?
That's correct. A nice pronunciation. The original expedition in 1957 was a Japanese expedition, and they had to leave their sled dogs behind, and then they came back a year later, and some of them were still surviving. And then they made a movie, a Japanese movie, in 1983 that our movie is loosely based on.
We're always fascinated to know how people got involved with the whole movie. What about yourself?
Well, I actually just read the script. I didn't know about the movie or the event, and I liked the title, and I liked the fact that it was about dogs. So it was sent to me as the director, and I read it, and I just thought, this is just a wonderful story for people of all ages. And it's a great adventure story, but it also has a lot to say about humans and relationships and that bond that's there between man and beast.
Frank, of course, you're a very accomplished director, but you actually made your name in the business as a producer. Now, moving over to the directing side, was that just a logical step?
Well, I spent a lot of time on some of the movies that I produced being the second unit director, and the job of the second unit director is to imitate the first unit director. And when you're working with the likes of Steven Spielberg and Robert Zemeckis, it's a great training ground. So I thought, well, you know, I kind of seem to have an aptitude for this, and maybe I should, you know, throw my hat in the ring for the big job. So that's how I started on Arachnophobia back in 1991.
Now, when a project comes to you, how do you decide which ones you'll produce or which ones you'll direct or which ones you'll do both?
Well, it's a little bit of both, particularly on this project, on Eight Below. I like movies that are a challenge to make, and this is certainly one of them. So I love the story, and I also thought, well, this is going to be a challenge to figure out, how do we shoot this? How do we put this story up on the screen? So it really appealed to me as a producer and a director. And then there are films that I'm involved in that already have a director attached to them, like Seabiscuit, for example, with Gary Ross. And then I love to be the support team. I love the easy job of just producing.
Now, this isn't the first time that you've taken on a film that was mostly set in snow conditions. How did directing Alive then prepare you for the challenges of Eight Below?
I learned a lot of things that I was able to apply to the way we produced Eight Below and the way we shot. I had a lot of the same people on the mountaineering crew that I had on Alive, Canadians led by Robin Mounsey, who is really the king of the mountaineers, and he found our location, and we were able to build and utilize the same kind of mountain village that we did on Alive on Eight Below. So The most important thing, though, that I learned was how to keep my hands and my feet warm.
Very important thing to know. We're talking to Frank Marshall, the director of 8 Below. It's available on DVD on June the 20th. Now, you were talking there about going through all the preparation period before you start shooting any film. But when you've got a large group of dogs to work with, how does that affect things?
You know, there's that saying that you're not supposed to work with kids and dogs or kids and animals or on the water. Well, if you know what you're getting into, then it makes it a lot easier. And it wasn't really easier, but it was doable. And so there was a lot of planning that had to go into with the dog trainers. So I worked with the dog trainers on specific actions that I wanted the dogs to do. And we worked very hard, almost 6 months in advance. I had 32 dogs, four dogs for each of the eight, so a total of 32. I had the main acting dog, then a stand-in dog, and then two stunt dogs that did the sled pulling and some of the action beats. And then just to sort of figure out the learning curve, I shot for 4 weeks with just the dogs before I brought the actors in. So I kind of learned how they worked and what I could do and what I couldn't do with them when I was staging the scenes.
What I love is then that the main dog has actually got a stand-in dog and it's got stunt dogs as well, just like in the real acting world.
That's right. They just have everything that real actors have except for trailers. There are no trailers.
Frank, compared to actors then, so the dogs were easier to look after? They were better behaved?
Well, the dogs were great. They were happy every day to see you, no matter whether you yelled at them the day before or not. The actors sometimes, you know, they carry a grudge into the next day. The dogs, no. There was always 32 smiling faces for me every morning, and I loved that.
Any particular experience with the dogs that you'll always treasure?
Well, I loved working with them on the sled. I never thought I'd be a sled dog sportsman, but it was great to learn how to drive the sled and an experience that was really unusual and means a lot to me because the dogs really trust you. And they'll keep running unless you stop them, and they put themselves in your hands, and you really have to know how to handle it. So it was great learning how to be a dog sled sportsman.
So is there an official name for a dog sled handler?
Oh, yes, I became an official musher. Frank the Musher.
I was absolutely amazed at the human characteristics that the dogs displayed in the film. Now, was that natural for them, or were they actually trained to behave that way?
I thought it was very important that I had natural, real dog behavior. I didn't want the dogs to be cute. I didn't want them to smile or wink at each other. I wanted them to behave naturally. So we designed the scenes where they were trained to do a specific action, but after about two takes, I would then let them do it on their own. So it became natural dog behavior. And we based the different scenes, like the hunting and the passing of the torch to the alpha dog, based those on actual situations and behavior that I had an advisor, Susan Butcher, who is a four-time Iditarod champion, and she has 90 dogs. She lives up in Alaska, and she told me that she knows all the dogs' names and the specific strengths and weaknesses of each one.
It also sounds to me like you really bonded with the dogs.
Oh, absolutely. It was hard for me not to bring one home.
Well, let's talk about the humans for a little bit. Paul Walker is great in the movie, playing the part of Jerry Shepard. What kind of research, though, did you have Paul do for the role?
Well, I had Paul actually come up 3 or 4 weeks early to the location. We had a farm where all the dogs lived, and they were training to do different things, and they were also training how to go around on the sled. So Paul came up, and he worked with the real-life guide that we had, Jamie, on the movie. He learned the commands, he learned how to steer the sled, and he learned what to do in dangerous situations. So Paul spent a lot of time prepping and getting in shape for this job because, as I said, it's a very athletic feat to drive these dogs around. So he, but it was a lot of fun, too.
The one conversation that I want to know about is what did you actually say to Paul Walker before having him run outside in his underwear?
Yeah, well, that's actually based on a real bit of research that we found out about the people who live down under in Antarctica. I wanted to try and show what life was like when you live down in, you know, minus 20 degrees all the time. And one of the things they do is they try and come up with crazy ways to pass the time. And when you're at the South Pole, there's a club called the 300 Degree Club. And what that means is that you somehow you get in the room and you pump up the heat to where it's 150 degrees, and then you wait until it's 150 below outside, and then you run quickly outside. You have to be in your skivvies. And you run and you touch the South Pole, and then you're a member of the 150 or the 300 Degree Club. So we did 131 degrees, which is sort of the junior varsity version. So they were excited to do that, but when I said, you know, you're going to have to take your shirt off and run outside a couple of times, he and Jason Biggs are good sports, but they only wanted to do three takes.
Now, how about the weather, Frank? How did that affect the production and the schedule?
Every morning when we met in a place in the parking lot, which we called the circus, we would plan out three different scenes, one for sun, one for a whiteout, and one for a blizzard. So whatever the weather changed to, we would immediately adapt and move over to whatever scene that was. So when you see the dogs and the actors in a blizzard, it's not special effects, it's a real blizzard.
How cold did it actually get?
We had a day where it was minus 32 degrees Fahrenheit. And with the wind chill, it was minus 50.
And an average temperature for you was?
Around zero.
Oh, my goodness me. Yeah. Now, how long can the dogs themselves actually survive in that temperature?
Oh, the dogs are built for it, Ross. They have an extra layer of skin, and they have all that coat, and they learn how to burrow into the snow, which actually keeps them warm. You know, they're very, very comfortable in it. We weren't, but they were.
It's all right for them.
Yep.
Now, the accidental fall through the crevice into the water, how did you shoot that?
Well, we had to design two sets where it would have been impossible for us to work in the real conditions on real ice. One of them was falling through the ice, and the other was the leopard seal. So we built a gigantic set of wax ice up in Vancouver, and that way we were able to control the conditions so everything was safe, but we were able to get the shots and do the scenes that were required.
Eight Below is available on DVD on June the 20th, and one of the features on the DVD is a behind-the-scenes of the making of the movie. In it, Frank, you talk a little about the seal attack scene. Just tell us about how you shot that scene, and what are the challenges of getting real animals to actually work alongside animatronics?
Some people suggested that we do that scene CG because the truth is that the leopard seal is really the nastiest predator down in the South Pole. So then it became, how do we get something that the dogs can interact with and they can fight and they can react to? And so that's when we came up with the solution of having an animatronic seal and then having it interact with the dogs and playing the action. So it looks pretty real. When it came to having the dogs have to feed off of the whale that was beached there, we had to resort to sort of an old-fashioned way of motivating them, and that was with baby food. We spread baby food all over the decaying whale, and they ran right up and, you know, went to town like they were really ferociously hungry and were eating away.
The film itself, beautifully shot by Don Burgess.
Yes.
How did you create the Northern Lights effect, or was it actually real?
Well, we had real footage of Northern Lights that we used as examples and research, but we wanted to create the scene where the dogs are excited and are playful with the Northern Lights. So those are CG effects done by ILM.
Now, so many challenges involved in this movie, but which one was your biggest?
I think the biggest challenge was actually blending the two stories together, keeping the human story going and making it interesting while you're away from the dogs, and then going back and forth. You know, when you're with the dogs, they're extremely interesting, but there's no dialogue. So a really crucial, important part and character in the movie is the music. And when you have 10 to 12 minute patches where there's no narration or dialogue, it's hard for the audience to stay connected. And so it was very important for me, and a crucial part, as I say, that was one of the toughest, was the music. And that's where the brilliant Mark Isham came in, who's done several of these kind of animal movies before, Never Cry Wolf and Fly Away Home. And he's a master at themes and keeping the mood and telling the story with his music. So that was sort of one of the last elements we had to add. And I was always nervous about it because you don't know what you're going to get until you actually hear it. So luckily he came through and delivered something that was sort of way beyond my wildest hopes.
How, Frank, then, did the challenges of making this film compare to some of your past movies?
Well, I'd say they were right up. This is right up there with one of my hardest movies. I think the hardest being Alive, because we had to helicopter in every day. We had to helicopter the crew and the actors and the equipment in to a glacier every day. Here we could drive up, but we still had those challenges of the weather and the cold and things not working. And so they all have their unique challenges, but this one was right up there with at the top.
Now, Frank, you've been there, you've seen it, you've produced it, you've directed it, you've got the crew jacket, but any lessons you take away from this movie?
Plan. For me, it's really do the preparation, and it really pays off for the movie.
I'm sure you find this wherever you go, but the movie is so inspiring, especially for kids.
Well, I really wanted the movie, Ross, to be for people of all ages, and especially kids, because it's really about teamwork and loyalty and friendship, and it has a heartwarming end. It's, you know, it's about real life, and it's about things that can happen in life, but, you know, if you work together, you can overcome an impossible situation, and that's what happens in the movie for both the humans and the doggies. And I think that's an important message for kids.
Have you talked to many kids after they've seen the movie?
Well, the kids really love it. The kids particularly get enthralled with the dogs. They love the dogs. They know all the dogs' names. They follow the dogs very closely through the movie. There are some shots when they would say, well, there was a shot where there were only five dogs and there should have been six. And I say, well, that's because Shorty was misbehaving that day and I had to take him out. But you'll notice in the next shot he's there and everything's okay.
Did you have any concerns about dealing with the subject of death as you did?
Well, I think that it's something that we have to deal with. You know, it's in some of the greatest children's movies there are, like The Lion King and certainly Bambi, and there is that element of death. And I think I try and treat it in a way that's very noble. Then, you know, we all have pets, and they're going to go sometime, and you need to learn how to live with that and understand that life goes on, and that's what the dogs show them. Maya shows them that we must move on as a group for our own survival, and but life must go forward, and I think it's another important lesson. So we try and deal with it in a very respectful way, and I think that it works.
I would imagine as well that when you meet up with kids, or indeed families who've seen the movie, that's one of the scenes that they react to.
They all love the scene where Maya passes the torch to Max. And because it's done in this silent way with Max then taking the offering of the food back to Maya, you see a real family connection. They really operate as a family, and that seems to be everybody's favorite scene.
On the line is Frank Marshall, the director of 8 Below. It's available on DVD on June the 20th. The DVD itself contains two commentaries with you, Frank, one with Paul Walker and Don Burgess. The other is with you and the producer, Pat Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also provide commentary on five deleted scenes, so you're very obviously involved in the creation of the bonus features on the DVD. Why is this so important to you?
Yes, I think it's important as the filmmaker for the audience and people who are watching the DVD to get an idea of what I had in mind. I think it's a great way for us to show the filmmaking process. People are fascinated by the way that a movie gets made because it is a collaboration. It's about a bunch of people working together to come out with you know, something that's creative and moving and emotional at the end. And there has to be a captain of the ship. I'm the captain of the ship, so I like to be able to at least guide people through what the process was.
Now, DVDs and bonus features are such an important part of our world now. I wonder, though, when you're directing, Frank, how much is the DVD in your head?
Well, when I think way back to the days of Raiders, we shot behind-the-scenes stuff on Raiders just for archival purposes. George Lucas was very keen on having records of how the movies were made, because you can never recreate it when it's happening. So if I see something that I think is unusual happening, we'll shoot it or we'll have the documentary crew shoot it. So I'm aware as we go on, as much as I can be, about doing some extra things and having them available for the DVDs.
Now, Frank, when people see this incredible movie, what do you hope that they take from it?
Well, I would like them to take away the message that impossible things can be overcome, that when you're in a situation, work together, collaborate, be a family, and you can do amazing things. And it's an inspirational story with heart about this just amazing group of animals. And I think that you have to have hope. And if you have hope, that you can achieve amazing things. So it's really a movie about hope.
And you've achieved an amazing film. Frankie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ross. Good to talk to you.
All the best. Bye.
Bye now.
That was Frank Marshall, the director of 8 Below, coming to DVD on June the 20th. That's it for this edition. Thank you once again to Frank Marshall, and be on the lookout for 8 Below on DVD June 20th. I'm Ross King, and thanks for tuning in.